Father, I will give you thanks because your anointing is present and people are going to be blessed today. All right, if you have your Bibles, let's start. We'll read today. Our text scripture will come from the book of Psalms chapter 40. It's one that I have read severally. And then that's the first one. Because we are reading so many as we go on, I'll just refer to the ones we read last time. But today let's read Psalm 40. I'll read from verse 5. If you are there, say... Okay, you're not there yet. Let me give you a minute. If you are there now, say amen.
Amen.
Now, please make sure you are looking into a Bible and don't look at me. If you don't have your Bible, look at into your neighbor's own. From verse 5, he says, "Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders which thou hast done." My Bible is the New American Standard. "And thy thoughts toward us. There is none to compare with thee." Now, please, I want you to notice something. He said, "God, there are many wonders that you have done." The next line he says, "And thy thoughts toward us." That is thoughts. The first word I want you to notice there is the fact that God has thoughts towards you. Everybody, say, please say thoughts. Say, "God has a thought about me." All right, please bear that in mind. He said, "There is none to compare with thee. If I will declare and speak of them," that is those thoughts that God has toward us, "they will be too numerous to count." Now, next line, it now says, "Sacrifice and meal offering thou hast not desired. My ears thou hast opened." Now, if you read this particular portion from Hebrews chapter 10, the quote here is, instead of saying, "My ears thou hast opened," he said, "a body thou hast prepared for me." He said, next line, "Burnt offering and sin offering in these ones thou hast not," he said, "thou hast not required," sorry. "Burnt offering and sin offering thou hast not required. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart." This is a scripture I've read so many times while trying to develop different thoughts, especially concerning the matter of purpose. And I'm going to link that again. That's the matter of purpose to what we're discussing in this season. Now, another scripture we should quickly read so that I won't read too many as we go on is from the book of Proverbs chapter 2. Just go a few pages down. You'll be in Proverbs. I want to read chapter 2. Just one verse there. Let me just start from verse 1. It said, "My son, if you receive my sayings and treasure my commandments within you," notice this, "make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. If you cry for discernment, if you lift your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver," this is where I was going, verse 4, "and search for her as for hidden treasures." Please, this is the most important verse in all these discussions we're having over these few weeks. He said, "If you seek her as what? Silver. And search for her as for hidden treasures." If you seek her as silver, as dollars and pounds, that's what he was saying. If you seek her the way men seek for naira, if you seek for her as for all kinds of financial gains and material possessions, verse 5 says, "If you do these things, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding." And that talks about the fact that he stores up sound wisdom for the upright and all of that. But what I want to just emphasize again is that verse 4, and I will talk about it as we go on. If you seek her as you seek for money, and seek her as men seek for material possessions. They wake up in the morning and go to work, go about their businesses. He said, if you seek her the way people do that, you seek wisdom, you seek understanding, you seek knowledge, he said, then you will discern the fear of God and discover the knowledge of God. Now, please notice those two scriptures. They are the foundations for what I want to continue to talk about today. We began that last Saturday. And that's the matter of, I see I haven't found a very good title for it. But let's just keep teaching. And that's the issue of trying to describe what is most important in life. I started last week by reviewing some things we have said over the many years I've been teaching the Word of God here. And let me just review them for a minute or two. All right? I said, number one, let's summarize it. I said, everyone has a part in life. Life is not haphazard. We read that from the book of Revelation, chapter 22. John was describing that if you take away from the prophecies that he has recorded in that book of Revelations, then you will lose your own part. All right? And that's what I'm trying to emphasize in the tree of life, which is recorded, he said, in that book. Each person has a part. You are not born by chance. God did not, you were not able to be conceived, listen to this, until God had written a part for you to fulfill. Life is like a drama, God's great story. And there are many actors, all right, inside that. And each person is given a body after God has written his part in that great drama. Are you getting my point? We said that. And we said next that success is when you effectively perform your part that God wrote before you were born. Are you getting my point? We said that you have a part. You know, I say it all the time. There is nothing that is mine that somebody else can collect. You can only try it to fall out of your hand. It gravitates towards me. It cannot fit anywhere else until it reaches my hand. Do you follow what I'm saying? My responsibility as a child of God, I'm going to discuss that again today, is to locate my part in life. Not to try and copy other people's parts in life. All right? You know, one of the tragedies, this is my opinion of life, all right? If I run a company, I will not use, you know this one now, when Glow, MTN, Airtel, they want to advertise, it's Two Face and all these musicians that they put in there. What is his name? Ben Carson said it's a tragedy. Yes. He said they use movie stars and sportsmen. He said they don't, now what he was trying to say is that why don't you use intellectuals to advertise things so as to encourage young people? That young people, they see these things all the time. They think that's the way forward. Now, what I want to say is this. What I'm trying to bring out is that when we bring those things up there, everybody wants to copy the part of a Motola. Do you understand my point? Yeah, that's what they want to be. They want to copy the part of a Two-Face. They want to copy the part. Now, let's even leave the musicians and entertainers. Even when it comes to ministry, all right, if T.D. Jakes blesses you so much, you want to copy his part, so you start talking like T.D. Jakes. If Pastor Banky bless you so much, you want to copy his part, you start talking like him. All right? You will see many people who are WF Kumuyis all over the place. Do you get what I'm saying? Because they are copying his part. One of the tragedies of life. Each person, you can take examples from people, all right, and be blessed by their lives. Well, please, you have your own part. You are not a photocopy of anybody. You have your own part. We discussed that. Let me not go over that again. All right? And so I said success. It's when you locate your part and you play your own part or become what God says you should be. All right? We said that. Okay? And then we now began to study the book of Mark chapter 4. And we'll pick up from there and then link into what I've done, these ones that we have read now. All right? Now, in Mark chapter 4, let me just read. Okay, let's read from here again. Then I'll read the one we read, the Amplified Bible. Now, it says in verse 24, and it was saying to them, take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it shall be measured to you, and more shall be given to you besides. In the Amplified Bible, it says it like this. It said, be careful what you hear. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that will come back to you. My emphasis is the issue of the measure of thought and study. Exactly what Proverbs chapter 4 told us when we read it a while ago, that you seek for her as for what? Hidden treasure, for silver, and as for hidden treasures. You seek for her the way men look out for money. That he was talking about seeking knowledge and understanding. Now, and Jesus was telling us here, the intent, now let me say something quickly. Everything I'm trying to say, the end of it, all right, is to get us as believers to seek the knowledge of God as we seek for money. As human beings seek for money, that's what I'm trying to do. I may preach on this for 10 weeks or 3 weeks or 20 weeks. One thing I want to accomplish, all right, by the Spirit of God, is that you will seek to know God. Now, not just to be a Christian. You know, I've told you before. You see, a lot of things that people do in life, all right? It's pure laziness. I know what I'm saying. Let me give it as an example. You know, I told you last time we were talking about the balance, the key to life. I said liberty is what? Is difficult. Is difficult to handle. Laws are easy. So people find it easy to just copy laws. Now let me tell you something. Sometimes people tell me they are praying. I found out that, you know, please understand what I'm saying. Prayer is very important. Amen. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
That's why we have a school of prayer here too. And on Tuesdays, we study about prayer and we pray. All right? It's very crucial. Now, in fact, my wife has all the school of prayer for last year. It's loaded on her digital Walkman. So every time, that's what she, in the morning, she just put it in her head of the bed. Pastor Banky starts leading in prayer again. You understand? Prayer is very important. But what do I want to say? I know it's important, but a lot of people are not praying because they know how to pray. They are praying because they are lazy in the things that matter. I'm sorry. Let's say it to ourselves truly. I said before that there's a prayer of faith. There's a prayer of laziness. I cannot study to do that which is right. So I just, why worry? I pray. And it is interesting now this day that we speak in tongues. And I dare to say it, most of the tongues are tongues again of laziness. Tongues of I don't know what else to say. They are not tongues of the Spirit. They are not tongues born out of passion. They are not the groanings of the Spirit. They are tongues of there's nothing else to say. Now this guy won't end the prayer point. Let's continue to pray for him. Am I criticizing speaking in tongues? No, Paul. Like Paul, he said, I thank my God. Maybe I can't say it like that, all right? But at least I speak in tongues as much as you all, if I can't say more than you. Are you following what I'm saying? So I'm not at all criticizing that. I'm just saying that sometimes we Christians engage in laziness and we think it is spiritual. Do you get what I'm saying? When you tell believers, you know, settle down and learn. Learn the ways of God. Learn the word of God. Let the word of God enter into you. Maybe from next week, if I can't get there today, I doubt whether I will be able to. We'll learn the different things that at least I'm able to discern are contained in the word of God. You've heard me in different times say that there's a process, there's a procedures and promises. Yes, but there's a way David said in Psalm 119, which is very interesting to me. He will tell you that, revive me according to thy word. That refers to the promises of God. I studied it. When David says in Psalm 119, revive me according to thy word. Once you see the word, thy word, in Psalm 119, he was describing God's promises towards you. Then he will talk about thy precepts, describes the principles of God. Then he will talk about thy law. That talks about general laws, general righteousness for everybody to know. Then he will talk about thy testimonies. Those are personal laws. Things are right for other people, but not right for you. There are people who say that God said they shouldn't watch television. Don't laugh at them. It's a commandment of God. That's thy testimonies for them. So, once you put on the TV, they get up and walk away. It's not a law for everybody. That's not general righteousness. But in the word of God, you discover all these things. We'll look at the different types later. And the job of every believer is to go out for the precepts of God. That is the principles by which God works. So Paul will tell you, even though I don't have a direct commandment, I know the way God works. So hear it. This is what you should do under such circumstances. And David said, when I walk by thy precepts, when I encounter thy commandments, I am not ashamed. I do not have cause for shame. Christians must learn God's precepts. You must know his promises for your life. Are you getting what I'm saying? You must know his general laws of righteousness. And you must personally have your own testimonies. Things that you don't do, everybody else may do it. Listen, when you put all these things in your heart, that's where we're going. You will discover that the path that God created before you were born, all right, will naturally play out. The fact is that in God, in the kingdom of God, nobody becomes what he desires to become. They only become what God made them to be. Let me tell you something as an example. Jesus did not come up with a desire to save the world. It was the Father that was saving the world, according to Oswald Chambers. Jesus only came to do the will of the Father. Many of the things we do in life, they are distractions from the true will of God for us. Now, you can't struggle. Listen, you know, let me tell you something, all right? We learn a lot of principles of life. And you know, sometimes when I hear those principles, I laugh. Let me tell you what I'm trying to say. If you get this man's book, I read a lot of things. What the Dog Saw and Other Write-Ups by Malcolm Gladwell. You know, recently when there was this Al-Qaeda attacks in the U.S., they brought out Twin Towers and all of those things. Then they now set up the Department of Homeland Security that did not exist before, so as to coordinate all the activities of FBI, CIA, National Security Department. You know, they had different ones, you know, about five or six of them. They want to coordinate all the activities. Now, in that book, Malcolm Gladwell explains something. He said people don't realize that the reason why they were separate and not cooperating before was because they found out years ago that was the easiest way to make them more effective. That CIA was trying to outdo FBI, so they became more effective. So they created competition amongst their security networks. Do you understand my point? So that each one became very effective. Decades later, we said that's the reason why they are not effective. Now, I'm going somewhere. When you learn many principles in life, I read them sometimes, I laugh. Because the same things they tell you to do so as to succeed are the same things other people did and did not succeed. And if you look around enough, you will see books written on why you should not do those things. I'm going somewhere, talking about just learning all kinds of things in life. Some time ago, I thought about it. Now, this will make you laugh when I say it. How many people have heard this expression before? Open door. Unless you are not a modern-day Pentecostal. Open door. Have you noticed that every trap, the entrance is an open door? I don't know whether you heard me. Every trap in life, the entrance is what? The entrance into breakthrough is open door. The entrance into traps are what? Open doors. So what are we going to do now? So when we see an open door, there's no guarantee that we should run through it. It could be a trap. It could be breakthrough. Why am I saying all of this? There is no principle of success in life for the believer. There's none. I've asked people before. They say, why are you doing? Said no. The way the thing came, the way the door opened, I go laugh. A door that opens doesn't mean anything. It could be a trap. Go and ask all the rats that are dead. Why did you die? I found open door. I found free food. You know, the Bible says you will live in houses you did not build. So I wanted to eat food that did not grow. That's why I am here. So you died. Yes, I died. You get what I'm saying? That is, there's no safety in anything. I see it all the time. Books on how to make money, how to retire rich and retire early, you know, by Robert Kiyosaki. I have read at least four Robert Kiyosakis. You've heard me quote some of his, you know, statements. I'm saying it again to you. There's no safety in any one of them. Like I keep saying, Christians, we learn to do that which is right because they are right. You know what guarantees your future? The promises of God. That's where I'm going to. There's no way to make it in life more than the word becoming flesh and dwelling amongst men. There's no other way. Listen, you know, there's a book I'm reading, Money Will Make You Rich, by Sunday Adelaja. Beautiful book. I hope it is acceptable for me to say something about the book. But then, yes, it's okay. It's a beautiful book. Let me just say something about the book. I hope it's all right for me to do that. Now, the book, all right, when I saw the title, and when I started reading the book, it's not exactly what I thought it was about that I found inside. It's a very nice book, written by a very good Christian man, all right? I mean, good pastor. I mean, many of us may know about him. And I'm really enjoying it. But what I want to bring out is something. Listen to this. Listen to this very closely. Initially, somebody had given me the report about some of the things he said, and let me just quote it. I've read it now, but I thought that was the main thing the book was about, all right? He explained some principles that people just talk about sowing and reaping. You heard me say it a lot of times. And he made a statement. He said, a lot of times when people do this sowing and reaping thing, it's only the man collecting the money that's actually reaping. Those who are giving the money ain't reaping nothing. You understand what I'm saying? He's a pastor, so you can't be angry with him, all right? Now, like he said, he didn't say it was wrong. Is that okay? that people should know. That's not what I say. What I was trying to say, there must be a balance. I will keep on here talking all the time about balance being what? The key to life. What I want to bring out, all right, from the book is this. But the book is mainly about how Christians can become rich in God. Do you understand my point? And that it's not just about having money. It's about being productive. We've discussed that before if we were here during our spiritual, economic, empowerment, and development strategy seminar. That Christians should be interested in producing goods and services. And that's what real wealth, that is, that's what material wealth comes from. And that real wealth is righteousness. That's what he said, all right? Very nice book. But this is where I'm going. Why describing the principles of how people should deal with money, principles of money and becoming rich? I noticed something. Please, follow me. And if Brother Sunday Adelaide has listened to this, he should please listen to what I want to say. All right? He said he taught these principles. He began to practice them. He said to himself he would make $1 million within 2 years. He did it within 9 months. 7 or 9 months. I began to teach people in his church. And in 2 years, let me not give wrong figures now, scores of people had become millionaires. And there was one, listen to this, please, carefully. There was one half-illiterate pastor who moved down to the church. He was totally poor, properly broke, convincingly lacking. There was no disagreeing about his financial status. He had nothing. And the pastor, they have hundreds of tapes that he taught on financial empowerment. So the pastor managed to get some money here and there and bought all the tapes. Because he was not really literate, he even found it hard to understand what the man was saying. But after many months of struggling, he was able to get capture the word. Over the next few, maybe year or two, about a year or two, he became so rich, he too also became a millionaire. Now, he now gathered people and started teaching them what he had learned. Now, follow me, oh. And now, when I say gathered people, I don't mean gathered, working, rich professionals. Gathered people like himself, like what he used to be, and began to teach them the things he had learned. And within, he had been on it for like 2 years, and about 255 of them were already making tens of thousands of dollars per annum when they didn't have anything before. There was a drug addict that walked into Sunday Adelaide's church. And it was a drug addict. A tramp. A poor, low down, dirty, you know what I'm saying? Human being. Then God delivered the man instantaneously. All right? From drug addiction. Then the man began to listen to Sunday Adelaide and began to apply the principles. He said he first had 2 cents. He went to buy polythene bags and began to sell. Let me make a long story short. Within 2 years or so, the guy was rich, had 4 shops. He had become a millionaire too. He said, Pastor Van, what are you saying? Listen to me. After reading it through and through, I don't believe any one of them became rich because of any simple principles they operated. Listen. They became rich because they attended to his word. Please, listen. He said, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ears to my saying. Don't let them depart from your heart. Keep them in the midst, he said, of your eyes or heart. And which one? That one came first. He said, for their life to those who find them and health to their whole body. They are life. I explained to you before, life is not just that they become alive. If they were not alive, they wouldn't have found them. But their life means that they turn situations around for those who find them. If they were sick, they become well. Listen, if they were poor, they will become rich. Those men did not become rich. I have some spiritual understanding from following simple principles. Their following of Tunde Adelaja's principles was the sign that they believed the words that he spoke. Believe in the Lord thy God and you will be established. Believe also his prophets so you shall prosper. Because they believed the man of God, God released prosperity upon them. I'm not aware of any natural principle that can make multitudes millionaires in 2 years from nothing. I want to teach you from that book. I read the book to me. Forget it. I know there are principles. We will follow them. No, that, but that, for me, that's not it. It is that God in heaven is pouring a spirit onto the earth through that man of God. And those who attend to his words tap into that spirit. And like I told you, I'm writing an article. I've not really written it yet, but it's already in my mind. I've started it essentially. I said there's what I call the simplicity of divine intervention. When God begins to intervene, it looks simple. That's why men in all of creation, even though his divine power is shown and is made manifest, they still don't give him thanks because it is predictable. This morning I went to go and call, to go and register. I got there before the registrars of the voter, of the voters list, right? The voters registration thing. So I was waiting. While waiting, some men were talking beside me. One happened to be a Christian. I was talking to his friend, all right? You know, it was Opera Square, so people came to exercise. So I was in my car. I listened to them for quite a long time, all right? And the preacher was obviously telling his friend about divine judgment at a particular point in time, about somebody who died. And his friend said, no, listen, that guy died from a natural cause. He was doing this and doing that, and this happened, and he died. Ah! I wanted to interrupt and say that's what I call the simplicity of divine intervention. When God works, it looks like we can understand it. I watched the other day on National Geographic. They explained the volcanic eruption that rained fire and brimstone down on Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding five cities. They explained it. And for some people, you see, the Bible is not true. The story around it is myth. No, I said this is a confirmation of what we are saying. When God is moving, you will see the things he's doing. You need discerning eyes to know it is the act of God. Listen, if it was so obvious that it was God that divided the Red Sea, Pharaoh would not have entered. Is he an idiot? If it was so obvious that this Red Sea parted for the deliverance of the children of Israel, Pharaoh was not a fool. He would not have followed them inside it. They had explanations for why the sea parted. So they didn't understand that it would not hold up for them. I hope you are following what I'm saying. I read the book. I said, I called Yinka. I told him. I told Bishop the same thing. I told it to my wife. I said, these stories are true. But please, let an unbeliever pick the principles and use it. He will get nothing. He will get nothing. God is moving. Are you getting my point? Now, why did I go into all of that? Trying to use that book to illustrate something. I want you to understand that what you are looking for also, I'm back to the main course of my message. What you are looking for in life also is packaged in words. The words have different types. I was telling my wife the other day, I was analyzing what ministries are. There's a church, let me not mention names, because I may sound a bit critical. I listen to the pastor's message. I listen to them. I love listening to him. He's on TV. I told my wife, if you go to this church, you will be an extremely critical believer. This is the point I'm making. I noticed something. This particular thing I'm talking about, there's a kind of word that comes from his pulpit. And the other day, I was encouraging my wife to listen to the messages, because it will help you pray a kind of vengeance prayer for this country. You need that. That's one kind of word. There's a kind of word that Pastor Banky will preach from here. That's why I say all the time, a lot of places we call churches, they are not really churches. They are just platforms from which the word of God is being released. I don't know whether I get my point. That's why for me, the number one issue here is that we have MP3 tapes, we have books, we have CDs, we are on TV, we are on radio. It is not those who come here that's the issue. It's that the word of God is entering into the earth. Now, this is what I'm saying. I said, what you are looking for is packaged in what? Words. It's packaged in what? Words. And the words have different types. There's a part of you. Now, when I say you now, you understand what I'm saying? Before you were born, he said to Jeremiah, I knew you. I formed you in your mother's womb. I made you a prophet. I anointed you, appointed you to be a prophet to the nations. So when I say you, I'm not talking about the young priest in Israel. I'm talking about the part that God wrote before Jeremiah was born. Are you getting my point? The same thing for your life. Now, that's you, your part, that thing I'm talking about, was written down, and God sends them in fragments into the earth, and they must become complete. You must get all the pieces into your life before you fully manifest His glory. A part of it for you, or maybe for some people, their major part comes through my mouth. That's I, Banky. But there are some crucial parts that are coming from somewhere else, which no matter how hard I pray, no matter how hard I preach, you can't get it from me. Are you getting what I'm saying? This is what I'm trying to bring out. Before you can become what God created you to be, listen, your part, you were written down in His books. You are packaged. You know what I'm talking about, you now? You were packaged as words. What you have here is the body that God made so that His path, His word, your life can come into existence. I don't know what I hear what I say. You sitting down here and nothing in yourself. You are the receptacle that God made. Do you follow me? To receive His glory, which is documented as what? Words. That's why I said at the beginning, listen to me attentively. He said in that Psalm 40 that we read, He said, thy thoughts towards us. The thoughts of God and the word of God, they are the same thing. The word logos. You've heard the word logos. If you've been studying the word of God, there's no difference in meaning between thought and word in logos. What am I saying? Everything that God thought about was written. Then a body was prepared. And that is you that's sitting down here. And before that body can fulfill what God made it to be, can become what God made it to be, it must get the thoughts of God downloaded from heaven. As a matter of fact, it does not come cheap, does not come easy. I told you when I was in earlier, He said, my ears thou has opened. And if you read that in Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, He said, a body thou has prepared for me, was describing the same thing. You see them rendering what the Hebrew man understood, all right, when he wrote it down in Greek. What he was saying is this, for the body to become effective, it must have pierced ears. I don't know what I heard I said. It is the word, that's why the ears are there. It is the word that enters into the body that gives it function. You are useless in life except God's word. You know what I mean? Takes you over. Until then, you are only struggling after the order of the arm of flesh. Until then, you are following the agenda of men, which you think are your own thoughts and ideas. Forget, you don't have anything like that. You don't. Society told you what you needed. You are following the agenda. It's only the word of God that eradicates that for you. Society showed you, in quote, your mates and told you what you needed. Society, they insulted you once. You can't remember. They insulted your father when you were 6, when you were 7. Somebody had him locked up and your mother said it's because your father is poor. As a 6-year-old boy, it entered into your mind. Nobody will ever lock me up because of poverty. You've been chasing money since. It's men that gave you an agenda. You think it is God. You went to school where your classmate on the right is the son of a minister. The one on the left, the son of a bishop. The one in front, his father is a diplomat. The one behind, the father is an MD of one big company in the country. And your teacher one day asked you in class, who's your father? And you had nothing to say. You were 10, but since then, you have sworn, it's in your heart, you swore that in this life, you must be important. Nobody must embarrass your children like this. Men gave you an agenda. You have been sowing seeds. Oh God, every pastor that needs money finds in you. Why? Because you have been sowing seed for prosperity, not knowing that your seed is to kill rejection you felt at the age of 10. I said something earlier when I was talking about open doors, traps, and everything. You've been pursuing principles of prosperity. You've been pursuing many things in life. And the problem people like me have trying to teach the word of God is that I don't even know how to separate. If I tell you don't pursue that thing, I'm telling you that the principles are not true. Meanwhile, the principles are true. An open door is good. To enter into breakthrough, you need an open door. Then the same guy is opening his mouth now and telling you that open door could be leading into a trap. How does a man keep himself from such traps? Simple. There's no principle. That's what I'm saying. You can chase any principle around. That's not the point. What delivers you is when the word of God begins to enter into you. That word, there's a way it works. You will get to the open door that leads into a trap and you won't be able to enter. And you will not notice the open door that leads into a breakthrough and somebody will kick you into it. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Do we need open doors in life? Yes. Can they lead into traps? Most certainly. Should you bother about them? Don't worry your head. Drink, do you get my point? The word of God. Inhale it. Eat it. Swim in it. I remember then somebody told me once, I told you many years ago, I went to Adwekiti to go and do, I used to spend my leave there working with the pastor of the church that I attended when I was a house officer. And some men came from Wale Oke's ministry. They came to organize a program. So because my pastor was a point man in town, I got involved. So we used to go to places together. There were two ministers, young ministers. I also was with them. So we used to chat extensively. So issue, of course, young men, three single men. I think all of us were single, or maybe one of us was married, I don't know. But we used to chat extensively. So this will enter into marriage matters also. So one day, when I finished, you know, sharing the things I understood about marriage, single boy, you know, share. One of the men, I still remember, called me and said, he said, bro, are you married? I said, no. Ah! He was alarmed. He said, you're not married? I said, no, I'm not married. He said, and you're in Lagos? So what's the problem with Lagos for a single man? He said, be careful of Lagos sisters, though. That's where I'm going. I said to him, is that what the problem is? Ross, forget him. Then I quoted from him, for him, one of my favorite scriptures again, from the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 7. He said that there is a woman, was describing a wicked woman, whose heart is a trap, whose hands, he said, are chains. And I quoted the next line for him. I said, the Bible says, the one who is pleasing to God will escape from her. There is a sinner that will be enticed. Then I give a prophetic word. I said, even though I'm in the midst of 1,000 Jezebels, I can't marry one. Say, Pastor Banky, what's the principle of not marrying a Jezebel? I don't know. But I can give you 7 manifestations. Jezebel can die the day before the wedding. Pastor Banky can break a leg before the day of the wedding. Or a final, more handsome, richer fellow will sweep Jezebel away 2 days to the wedding. That's the third manifestation. I mean, the Holy Spirit, all right, we enter into a few policemen. They will arrest Pastor Banky the 2 days before the wedding and lock him up, right? Amen? No, I'm telling you different things. Different. Look, go and read Kenny Hagin's story. You will see how God delivered him through visions and revelations from Jezebels, who were in his choir, and he was a single pastor. So how will a young man prevent union with Jezebels who divorced Ahab? I have no single principle. You understand those principles? I don't have. But I know one thing. If he is pleasing to God, any Jezebel that wants to live long had better leave him alone. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's how a man is delivered according to his word. He is delivered according to the word of God. Not because he tried. That's what I'm trying to bring out. It is not the trying. It is that the word becomes flesh and delivers him from Jezebel. Are you following what I'm saying? That's why I told you everything I'm trying to preach is to bring us. This is not study to cramp. Like I heard my wife when she was leading prayer earlier. That I explained something to her earlier today. That you know, people go to school. You know what happened was that she wanted to put moisture in some things. And she was like, how can she do it? So I began to analyze